Well, Happy New Year, and please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the last few verses of Philippians this morning, Lord willing. Lord willing, we'll be finishing up Philippians this morning. And as you do so, several of you have asked me what is coming next in our study. And so we're going to be looking at the couple of weeks in Psalm 119, starting next week. And then after that, we're going to be looking at the books of Amos and Malachi. And then in the month of August, we're going to begin reading and studying through Romans. And so that's kind of where we'll be this year, 2025, if the Lord wills. But we're finishing up Philippians this morning, and it's been an exciting study for me. Hopefully you've been encouraged in your faith as well. Remember, the main theme is our joyful fellowship in Christ as a group of believers. We've talked about our joyful fellowship in prayer in the first 11 verses. We talked about our joyful fellowship in gospel advancement in verses 12 through 26 of chapter 1. We talked about our joyful fellowship in sanctification as we looked at the end of chapter 1 and went into chapter 2. We talked about our joyful fellowship in ministry as we look at the ministries of Timothy and Epaphroditus in chapter 3. Chapter 2 to the beginning of chapter 3. And then we talked about Christ's righteousness. And then we talked about steadfastness. And then we concluded by looking at our joyful fellowship and stewardship. And now we're in these final verses as we see these final greetings in Philippians. And so if you're able to, if you would stand with me as we read these three verses as we conclude the book of Philippians together. Paul has these words to his brothers and sisters there in Philippi, beginning in verse 21. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You may be seated. May God strengthen, encourage you, and give you joy this morning in Him as we read His unchanging word together this morning. And Father, we do ask you now as we come before you to look at your word together. We would ask that you would be kind to us. We thank you for the book of Philippians, for the things we've learned about joy in the midst of hard circumstances, the things we've learned about your purpose for us, the things we've learned about our union with your Son, Jesus. For those of us with us this morning who are not in you through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, who have not participated in eternal life through union with Jesus Christ by placing their faith in Him alone for salvation, I pray that you draw them to you even this morning, that you would convict their hearts of their need to turn from sin and turn to faith and believing in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And for those of us who are in you, we pray that you would encourage our hearts this morning as well. Help us to know you and love you more deeply, and help us to love your saints more deeply as well. We pray this in the name of your Son Jesus through the work of your Spirit. Amen. One of the things that I struggled with early in my ministry as a teaching pastor was seeing other churches, other local churches, not as competitors, but as gospel ministry partners. That is a very embarrassing thing to say out loud, but it's certainly something that I struggled. I didn't even realize at times that I was struggling with that, but it was a struggle to see other churches not as competitors, but as partners in gospel ministry. In fact, Austin and Marissa got married this past week, and I was, over the last couple weeks, looking through some of my old journals, remembering stories about Austin and kind of looking through things that have happened over the last 21 years. And as I was looking at the journals and seeing some of the things that I wrote, I was convicted once again of that reality in some aspects of my ministry, not rightly understanding my relationship with other local churches. Now, you know, if you had asked me, Daniel, do you think of another church as a competitor? I would have said, no, of course not. That's ridiculous. What an absurd thing to say. And I would have been being truthful with you as far as I knew. But as I look at some of the things that I wrote, as I think about some of the attitudes that I had, I realize my thinking was not healthy at times. It wasn't as God would want it to be. So, for example, as I looked at some of the things I wrote, I realized I felt an internal and external pressure to, especially in early years of ministry, to grow the church numerically. And how do you know if you're growing a church numerically? Well, you look at other churches and you say, well, this church has been around as long as we have or has the same sort of demographic. Are we growing like they are growing? Are we as big as they are? Are we smaller than they are? What are we doing wrong? I also realized that at times, as I looked at some of the things I wrote, I felt like absolute devastation when people would leave Bethany Community Church. And some of that, you want to miss people when they leave, but when people would leave Bethany and go to another good church, like I felt like we had somehow failed them. I was remembering a conversation I'd had with another pastor when a family left and was going to this pastor's church. I called him, hey, this family's going to be going there. They're really awesome. Love on them well. He goes, oh, man, I'm so excited that they're going to be coming here. Good. No, I mean, I hope you're excited too. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of excited. I mean, I'm excited, but also a little sad. He said, oh, Daniel, you shouldn't be sad. You should just be rejoicing that they're coming here. And I said, well, can I be both? Like, and I kind of want to be sad and rejoicing for you. But as I look back, there was just a sense of, well, somehow I must have done something wrong. Our church must have somehow failed these people, because why would they ever want to go to another church if we had been everything that we were supposed to be to them? Indeed, my metric for being a good church was, well, are we just having fewer problems than other churches? A lot of comparison, which is deadly for true sanctification, right? So what happened? There were many things that God did and is continuing to do to change my heart, but I think one of the most significant things that helped me was growing deeper relationships with other local pastors. And as I got to know other pastors, I got to know other churches more deeply and have a greater love for the churches in our area. Again, I didn't understand how I needed to grow in all other areas, but I knew that as I got to know these other churches that I wasn't loving them like I needed to. And so as my fellowship with other churches grew, my love for them grew as well, and I desperately needed that for my spiritual sanctification, and you do too. You also need fellowship with other local churches. You say, well, Daniel, I struggle to have relationships with other Christians just at this church, much less how can I be responsible to have relationships and fellowships with other local churches? And the text that we're looking at this morning, I believe, will help us. Philippians is speaking to a faithful but imperfect church, a church that needed to grow in its fellowship with one another, and that's Bethany Community Church as well. We are a faithful church, but an imperfect church that also needs to grow in so many areas, including in our understanding of fellowship. And in Philippians, it wasn't just fellowship with one another that they needed to continue to grow in, but they needed to also could grow in their fellowship with the broader church as well. We should have relationships with Christians in all sorts of circles. And so here's kind of the main idea that I want us to think about as we look at these last three verses of Philippians and we see these greetings. Here's the main idea. Christians should have deep, broad, Christ-centered fellowship with other Christians. This is not some sort of radical new truth for you this morning, I'm sure. You're not going to go home this afternoon and say, wow, Daniel just really presented something I never thought about before. Relationships with other Christians, who would have thought? This is basic Christianity, but there are some aspects of application that I hope are helpful for you this morning as you think about this reality. Christians should have deep relationships. In other words, our relationships with one another shouldn't be shallow, and there's going to be a smaller group of believers that we often have deeper relationships with. We're talking with them about what's going on in our lives. There's transparency. There's discipleship. There's those relationships, and there are also broad relationships where we have a sense of the work that God is doing, not only in our circle of friends, not only in our local church, but in other local churches in our region, and other local churches in our nation, and other local churches throughout the world. We should have broad relationships as well, and all of these, of course, should be Christ-centered, exalting the name of Jesus Christ. If you look at the structure of the text, there's a word that occurs three times. It's the word greet. You're to greet every saint. So there's a greeting of every individual saint in Christ Jesus. Then there's a ministry group. The group with me, Paul says, greets you. And then all the saints greet you. And so there's these concentric circles that are expanding. There's these individual believers that are greeted, and then this ministry group that's greeted, and then local church to local church greeting that takes place. And that's going to form the structure of our time together this morning, looking at these fellowships with different groups of believers. And so let's see how this plays out in Philippi with the Church of Rome where Paul is, and let's begin by talking about our fellowship with other believers, our fellowship with individual believers. Verse 21, he says this, look at the text, he says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. There's a couple things that I want you to notice there even in this first sentence. The first, of course, is that word, greet. That's a word that's used extensively in the New Testament. It means the same thing in English that it meant in Greek whenever Paul used the word. It describes the greeting of people, the acknowledging of a relationship through customary means. So you see a person that you know, and you greet them. There's things that you do in every culture to greet other people. Here in the first century when Paul is writing, perhaps there would have been a kiss that, you know, kind of this greeting to acknowledge relationship. In our culture, I feel like we're in a time where it's a little bit more complicated. We used to shake hands to greet one another. And we've all realized that's a terrible unsanitary practice. I look around this morning, I realize I think like 10-15% of our church is sick this morning because we don't know how to wash our hands. And so there's a terrible virus going through our community, but we haven't replaced the handshake. We've done this thing where we add to the handshake. So I don't know, at least guys, you shake and then you hug and then you side hug, and it's very awkward. We don't really, we're in transition, I think. Austin's wedding rehearsal, I'm not kidding you, the longest part of the wedding rehearsal was Austin and his now father-in-law figuring out how to greet one another at the handoff of the bride. Do we handshake? Do we do this? Do we pat each other? Slap on the rear end? Like, what do we do here? I don't know. But greeting conveys the acknowledgement of relationship. As we see this word used three times, you say, look, I want you to convey my care for someone with whom there's existing relationship. So notice that word greeting. And then he says, every saint. Now, this is kind of interesting because usually whenever Paul talks to a group of people, he uses the plural. So he'll say, you all, you guys, the churches, the saints. But here he says, greet every saint, and he uses the singular there. So he's talking about individual believers. And Paul, as he thinks about the church in Philippi, he's thinking about individual Christians with whom he has relationship. And notice the third thing there, it's greet every saint in Christ Jesus. These are Christians. These are those who are believers. And of course, we should have relationships with non-Christians. But Paul is saying, look, those who are in Christ, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, I want you to greet them. Why? Because we have this common salvation. And of course, by the way, if you're here with us this morning and you are not a Christian, we are glad that you're here. We're thankful that you're here. And we would encourage you to place your faith in Jesus Christ, to become those who are in Christ. You become a Christian not by attending church. You become a Christian not by sitting in a church building. You become a Christian by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. So we'd encourage you to do so even this morning. Paul says, look, I want you to greet. I want you to express my relationship with those with whom I have this existing relationship, those who are in Christ, every single saint in Philippi individually. Now, the application here is relatively simple. Again, nothing profound this morning, but you need to be in relationship with other Christians. There should be individuals for whom you care. We have a responsibility to pursue those individual relationships. The word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia. And we've talked about the church several times here in the book of Philippians. He just mentioned the church, another church, another ecclesia sharing in his ministry except the Philippians. And an ecclesia in the first century was a group of citizens who came together for a common purpose. So you have all these individual citizens, and then they come together in the church, and they're in an ecclesia, and then they're an ecclesia. And so Paul is saying, look, as he uses the word in the New Testament, describes a group of individuals who come together to be the church. Now, when you go to a concert, there are a lot of people there in the concert, but you have no relationship or relational obligation in there. You're there to observe. As you come to a church, you're not just sitting in a room singing songs with people you have no relationship with. You're there, you're in the church, you're an ecclesia, you're an assembly. We have responsibility to be in relationship with one another. Now, here's the second thing that I want us to look at. Number two, we fellowship with ministry partners. Look at the last half of verse 21. He says, the brothers who are with me greet you. Now, we can't have deep relationships with every single person in a church. How do we choose those with whom we're going to develop some of our closest relationships? And often the answer is, well, we're going to have closer relationships with the people with whom we do ministry. If you're a person who says, I have no relationships, I don't have the deep relationships that I desire to have with other Christians, one of the questions we want to ask ourselves is, well, am I partnering with others in ministry? Paul says, the brothers who are with me greet you. Who is he talking about? Well, as we've looked through Philippians, think about all the people he's mentioned. At some point, this was Epaphroditus, although he sent Epaphroditus back to Philippi. We know that Timothy is with Paul. In fact, go to Colossians. Go to the end of Colossians, just one book over. This is also written while Paul is in prison in Rome. And just listen to how, start in verse 17 here, and listen to how Colossians 4, 7 through 17, listen to how Paul ends this epistle. And look at all the people who are with him. So remember when we're in the book of Acts, we left Paul at the end of Acts. He was living under house arrest in Rome at his own expense. And people are coming and going and being in relationship with him. And as he's in relationship with these people, he develops close relationships. So verse 7, Tychicus will tell you about all my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. Remember, Onesimus is the one that the book of Philemon is written about. They will tell you of everything that has taken place. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. What does he mean there? He means here, as I'm in Rome in prison, these are the Jews who are with me. But those aren't the only men who are with Paul. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. What do you see there? Paul doesn't do ministry in isolation. And as he closes this book to Colossians, where he's writing near the same time, the same place that he writes the book in Philippians, there are all sorts of people with whom he's doing ministry. And those are the people with whom he is engaged in a deep ministry relationship with. And those people greet the people in Philippi. As I was looking again at my journal, there are different names in the years that come up more often. And the people that I wrote about most and talked about the things that were going on in their life were the people who are doing ministry with me in youth ministry or doing eldering ministry or on staff. It's the people that you're doing ministry with that you develop your closest relationships with. Very simple application, of course. As we think about our relationships, are we persevering in ministry and in fellowship with co-laborers? Do you feel lonely in the Christian life sometimes? Well, one of the ways in which to combat loneliness in the Christian life is to engage in ministry with other Christians. As we've talked about in Philippians, doing ministry side by side, striving for the gospel. In fact, I just encourage you with this. Some of you have perhaps pulled away from the church and from ministry and relationships because of some hard circumstances that may have happened in the church. Maybe there's been some, you know, what you call church hurt. People have hurt you or harmed you. Think about what Paul's gone through. You've been, I'm sure, in some tough circumstances, but Paul had entire churches turn on him. He had people in the church of Corinth stir up trouble, and then the people that he thought were his friends didn't defend him, and he had to deal with that, and it's in letters and people back and forth. Paul understands betrayal. And yet, what does he do? He continues to engage in ministry and in ministry partnerships. I guess my encouragement there with that is don't let the sin of others rob you of the grace that God desires you to experience through deep relationships. Commit to the local church and to ministry within the church. Okay, and then the third thing I want us to think about, and this I want us to spend a little bit more time on this morning. The third thing is we fellowship not only with individual believers and not only with ministry partners, those that are close to us, standing side by side with us doing ministry, but we also fellowship with other local churches. Look at what Paul says next. He says in verse 22, all the saints greet you. So he says, here I am in Rome, and all this, I've talked about those who are with me in prison, and now all the saints, those who are part of this local church here in Rome, especially those of Caesar's household. So that is a church-to-church greeting. The church here in Rome greets the church there in Philippi, and especially those of Caesar's household. And apparently there were some people who were part of Caesar's household. This doesn't mean like his son or his daughter. This means kind of the people who are working in the emperor's household there. It says, those who have relationships with some of those of you in Philippi, they also from this local church send their greetings. And he says, the grace, he ends it as he does nearly every epistle, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So he's in every epistle, he's giving the grace of God to them. Now, what do we see here as we think about the saints greeting the saints? Saints in Rome, church greeting the church in Philippi. Why is that significant? Churches need to be in relationship with other churches. And he said, well, Daniel, maybe some churches, but we're Bethany Community Church. I mean, honestly, we kind of have it together. Do we really need to be in relationship with other churches? Yes. Desperately, right? So we have the resources to do ministry. We don't need other churches to do this. We have people here who are doing a great job, and it's true that we have very blessed with great people, but there are many, many reasons that we need relationships with other local churches. We need to be obedient to God's command to be in relationship with other churches. We need to understand more of God's grace by seeing Him at work in other churches. We need to be aware of the greatness and the vastness, the bigness of God and His work as we see the gospel being done in other places besides this assembly. We need humility as we look at other churches and see things that they're doing that we're perhaps struggling in. We need to understand other churches love the Lord. Other churches have great teaching. Other churches have congregations that love one another. In other words, the reason that Bethany Community is great is not because we're great, but because God is great. And the same great God that is at work at Bethany Community Church is at work in other local churches. And being aware of the work that God is doing in other local churches causes us to be more humble and us to worship God more fully. We desperately need that. And I would argue that this passage is hitting at a very providential time. This year, one of the goals that we have in leadership is to evaluate our relationships with other churches. And we're going to be spending the spring talking about some of the relationships that we have with churches in our region and around the world. And we're going to ask you as a church, those of you who are members of Bethany, we're going to be asking you in the spring to consider leaving our current association and joining another association and develop other relationships with some churches. Now, just to kind of keep this on your calendar, on Sunday morning, February the 9th, during that Sunday school hour, I'm going to be presenting some things during that hour, talking about what an association should be, why we think we need to leave our current association, which of course has some churches and people in it that we love. We're going to talk about ways we want to fulfill what our relational obligation is to other local churches and kind of the process of that. And then on Sunday night in January and in February, our Sunday evening service, we're going to be talking about some of the distinctives of the association that we want to join. And we're going to be talking, of course, about other ways we fulfill this as well. But this is what we're going to be doing over the coming months. And that's that. Those Sunday evening services are January the 19th and February the 16th. So put those on your calendar and come and participate in those conversations. What do we know we're about our fellowship with other local churches? What do we know? What do we see in Scripture? So here we are in Philippians, and there's one local church sending greetings to another local church. What do we see in Scripture about our responsibility to be in fellowship with other local churches? Let me give you five things that our fellowship with other local churches needs to look like. And these are things that we'll talk about more on a Sunday morning on February 9th, but just kind of keep these in mind. What does fellowship among local churches look like? Well, one, we know each other. We need to know each other. We need to be aware of one another. Paul would say in Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's cultural. Don't do that now. Don't do it with me. All the churches of Christ greet you. So there's all the churches greet you. So there's this recognition that the churches that Paul is with as he writes Romans are greeting the people in Rome. How can they do that? Well, there's awareness. He would say in 1 Corinthians 16, the churches of Asia send you greetings. So by God's grace, there are so many churches in the world today, we can't know all of them. But as we have, by God's providence, a growing awareness of local churches, we need to acknowledge them. We need to be thinking about them. So we need to know one another. Two, we need to physically care for one another. We have a responsibility to physically care for other local churches. That's what fellowship must look like. One of the great subplots of the story of the church in the New Testament, and perhaps you're going to try to read through the New Testament this year in 2025, or maybe you're going to try to read through the whole Bible. As you read through the New Testament, watch this subplot. Look at the church in Jerusalem, and one of the interesting things is how often the physical needs of the church of Jerusalem come up in Paul's letters. He's constantly calling people to care for them. So Romans 15:25, at present, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. So notice that. That's a responsibility churches have toward one another, to physically care. A third responsibility we have to be in fellowship is we spiritually care for one another. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we spiritually care for one another. In the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas go to from Jerusalem. They're sent to Antioch to care for the saints there. So we need to be aware of one another. We need to physically care for one another. We need to spiritually care for one another. Number four, we pursue unity with one another. We have a responsibility to pursue unity with one another. We'll talk about this in a few weeks, but as you look at the book of Acts, Acts 15, there's some doctrinal disunity that takes place. There's some people that are teaching a false gospel, and the churches gather together and say, hey, we want to fix this. Now, as we've talked about the essentials of the faith in the book of Philippians, we understand that there are different churches that we're going to have different levels of unity with, right? So, for example, there are churches in our area that we have a very strong doctrinal agreement with. We all agree with the same essential doctrines, and we spend time together, we have this relationship, and we're going to be very close with those churches. There are some churches we have a lot of doctrinal agreement with, but not a lot of relational connection, and so we're going to be less close with those churches. There are some churches that the gospel is proclaimed, but shared ministry is tough because there's some real significant kind of second or third level issues that we have a disagreement on, and so we're not going to have as much relationship there. We can't do conferences together, perhaps. And then there's some churches where we have some very significant concerns about how they undermine the gospel. And then there's some churches that we would say that they're teaching a false gospel, perhaps a gospel of works. And so we're not going to have any relationship with some of those churches. But our desire is what? It's unity. And no matter where a church is on that, on those concentric circles, we desire to be pursuing unity. Perhaps through a church repenting of a false gospel, believing the true gospel, and deepening our relationship with churches that are anywhere on that spectrum. We want to have relationship. We want to have unity. We want to all be working for the kingdom and God's glory. And then lastly, as we think about our fellowship with other local churches, we want to partner in ministry with one another. We want to partner in ministry with one another. We push forward in trying to do ministry. We saw this in Philippians 4. Churches are collectively sharing in Paul's ministry. Now, here's something different I want to do this morning based on what we've just seen. I want to spend about 10 minutes or so doing this. I sent out an email to area churches on Tuesday, which was December 31st, which, first of all, that means technically I did finish Philippians in 2024, kind of. But secondly, it means that a lot of pastors didn't have any time to respond because I sent it to them on New Year's Eve. Whitney asked if I got any responses from anyone. I said, I heard from a lot of guys within seconds, but it was autoresponders, unfortunately. But 11 churches responded, 11 pastors responded. I said, hey, can you just send our church an update on how your church is doing and a greeting to our church from your church? And so I'm going to read these out, take about 10 minutes or so and do these. And I want to encourage you, we'll also send this out. I haven't talked to anyone about doing this. If it's okay with the staff, we'll send this out via the church email this week as well. But here are some churches that were able to respond with my short notice. And here, I want you to be encouraged as you listen to their greetings and pray for these churches as well, as you fulfill your obligation to be in fellowship with other churches. So here we go. From Pastor Jonathan Chadbourne, he writes this. Greetings from your brothers and sisters at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Groveland, Illinois. This past year, we adopted a new mission statement. It is Cornerstone Baptist Church exists to be disciples and make disciples of Jesus Christ. It is a great joy to us to know that we have like-minded believers like you in our community whose heart beats with the same love for our Savior. Please pray for us that we would continue to be faithful to this mission in 2025. Specifically, we're taking a significant number of our church family to Guatemala in 2 weeks to serve a school and an orphanage that we support. Pray that God uses this time of service to strengthen and refine both us and those we will serve. Thank you, Bethany. We are blessed by your faithfulness to the Lord. Pastor Scott Burkle in Carlock, Illinois. Greetings from your brothers and sisters at East White Oak Bible Church. This year at East White Oak, God has been so good to our church. On Sunday mornings, we preach through the book of 2 Timothy, understanding gospel words for gospel people. We also preach through the one chapter books of the Bible. That's cheating. seeing these short stories of God's goodness and his justice, Obadiah, restoration, Philemon, abiding in God's teaching, 2 John, truth, 3 John, and in contending for the faith, Jude. We concluded the year preaching through the narratives on Isaac and Jacob, seeing the promise of God's goodness in a world of deceit. One of our greatest joys of the past year was seeing our church plant in West Bloomington become a fully independent congregation from us. It has been exciting to witness their ministry to the homeless and the follow-up of people when that homeless encampment was dismantled. We have also seen great growth in our outreach to single young adults as well as young families. Please pray for us in 2025 as we consider how we might grow as worshipers, maturing in Christ, how we develop next generation leadership, and how we continue to share Christ in our neighborhoods. We are so thankful to the Lord for you, Bethany Community Church, and cherish our partnership with you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's East White Oak and Carlock. Pastor Dave Beakley in Bartonville writes, greetings from the Living Hope Community Church family. This past year is one of praise to our gracious God and Father for his mercy in working in many lives at Living Hope. This past year, we swam in the deep waters of the Gospel of John, and we are seeing much work of the Spirit in the lives of many as they discover and rediscover the wonder, grace, and work of the God-man Jesus. Marriages have been strengthened through discipleship and sitting under the preaching of the Word, and our men have grown through a faithful persistence in learning about how to grow as godly men through our bi-weekly men's discipleship ministry. In addition, God was more than faithful in bringing record numbers to our VBS and Awana programs, and we're seeing new families come to Living Hope for the first time as fruit of those programs. Our women's ministry has been strengthened through regular Bible studies. Finally, we're thankful to the Lord that he brought Arnie and Naz Razafinato from Madagascar to lead our music, high school and middle school programs and social media. They are truly a blessing from the Lord. That's Living Hope. Pastor Vince Kobosh, greetings from your brothers and sisters at Freedom Baptist Church in Bloomington, Illinois. We rejoice in what the Lord is doing at BCC. Our pastor enjoys fellowship with your pastor and enjoys hearing updates of prayer needs and blessings for BCC. We are privileged to pray for you and labor together with you in the Lord's harvest. Here at Freedom Baptist, we praise the Lord for souls saved, people baptized, and believers growing. It is our prayer that God will increase our ability to reach the lost, disciple, and edify believers. We pray God's blessing on a new year of ministry together as a community of faith, and that the Lord will strengthen us all spiritually in these last days before Christ's return. That's Freedom Baptist Church, Bloomington. Pastor Jonathan Farrell and Morton writes, as a Grace Church family, we entered 2024 praying the Lord would give us eyes to see new opportunities to do gospel work together, and we are thankful how he answered this prayer. During the year, we studied the book of Acts and reflected on the unhindered witness of the people of God. We continue to pursue the expansion of our residency ministry. We are grateful for the way that we have seen the Lord provide a partnership with Redeemer Church in Minunk, and this year we will enter into similar work with a church in Slovakia. We are beginning this year reflecting on what it means to know Jesus, to be known by others, and to make Jesus known. Dave Steinbach writes, greetings from Cross Point Community in Eureka. We give God glory for the evidences of his grace and goodness in our church family. This last fall, we were in 1st and 2nd Peter being encouraged to live faithfully as outsiders, and as we are transformed by his gospel. In December, we began the gospel of John, being reminded that life is found in the name of Jesus. Pray for us that we would be followers who abide in him, a family who loves one another well, servants who serve like Jesus, and missionaries who show and tell of the good news of Jesus. We thank our Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, for the brothers and sisters at Bethany Community and the partnership and friendship we share in the kingdom. Zach Rogers in Peoria writes, greetings from your brothers and sisters at Grace Presbyterian Church. This has been a blessed year. This year we preached through half the book of Matthew and the book of 2 Timothy. God has been moving the hearts of people in our church and their relationships. Over the last 12 months, God has brought 180 people into the membership of our church. This is more than we could have asked or imagined. We praise God for his mercy on us and are asking God to continue to use us to see Christ exalted in Peoria. Please pray for us as we seek to further align ourselves with the heart and will of our Father. Pastor Andy Hitty writes this, greetings from your brothers and sisters down Route 24 at Christ Community Church of Gridley. We are thanking God for like-minded churches like Bethany seeking to exalt Christ, share the gospel among all nations while striving for health and holiness in the church family. In Gridley, we are joyful to have completed a building expansion this past year and for God's abundant provision not only of resources, but most of all for unity in the process. We have been able to celebrate some baptisms in the new space, and our prayer in this coming year is for more life transformation. We long to see those walking in darkness come gloriously into the light of Christ and be baptized into his name. Please pray against comfort and complacency, and for our church family to be vibrant in welcoming outsiders, fervent in prayer, and bold with the gospel. Your prayers for the work of Christ in Gridley are much appreciated. Pastor Josh Gerber writes, greetings from your brothers and sisters at Newcastle Bible Church. While 2024 was a difficult year, we are thankful for the way the Lord sustained us. He blessed us with new members and fruit in many of our ministries. One of our greatest joys was watching many of our members step in and serve and labor for the benefit of the body while we would love an easier 2025. Please pray instead that we will grow in our care and fellowship for one another so that Newcastle can be the family God desires. We have been very blessed by and thankful for the support of Bethany Community in 2024 and look forward to partnering together this year. Two more. Pastor Paul Forget, from Rock Creek Bible Church in Congerville, grace to the saints at Bethany. The Lord continues to show his kindness in sustaining us and our ministry here. We are currently preaching the life and ministry of Christ according to Matthew's gospel. It has been a helpful and refreshing look at our Savior, knowing that he has walked in our steps and can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. We are grateful for your faithful prayers on our behalf and ask that you continue to pray for us as we seek to discern the Lord's will for us in 2025. It is our joy to be your co-laborers. And then finally, from Pastor, can't make out his name, Jordan something or other, Jordan Embry, in Chillicothe at Covenant Community. Brothers and sisters of Bethany, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have seen the Lord work in mighty ways over the past year here and on the other side of the river, and have found ourselves to be very thankful for your vision to plant and strengthen local churches in central Illinois. The core team that went out from among you is doing well and continues to grow in the Lord's grace as we focused heavily on discipleship. We recently affirmed Luke Knapp, whom you sent with us as a gifted brother to preach God's word. He faithfully handled and preached a text from 1 Peter and preached a fruitful sermon in our hearing that we praised God for. I listened to it. It was fantastic. There are also many new faces who have been brought into the fold from the community in the Lord's kind providence. Our plan for this year is to turn our attention more intentionally towards evangelism. We covet your prayers in this regard. We pray for you and your leadership often and are grateful for your partnership in the gospel of Christ. Our love for you grows deep. Please visit us soon. Bethany Community is a great church. My sister-in-law, who was here for the wedding this past week, she said, "So how much longer do you think you'll be a pastor at Bethany? Like, how much longer do you think you'll go?" I said, "How old do you think I am?" I said, I plan on being here as long as they'll let me. I mean, I don't think I'm even halfway done yet, right? If the Lord wills. And, you know, if you're a visitor here this morning from a different church, my apologies to your church, but there is no other church I would rather be at than Bethany Community Church in the entire world, okay? But there are many, many other churches where God is at work. And there should be a special love you have for your church. But that should not be at the exclusion of thinking that our church is the only church that God is at work at. God is saving people. He's bringing people to deeper discipleship. And we grow in our love for God by seeing him at work in other churches. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in these churches. Christians should have deep, broad, Christ-centered fellowship with other Christians. May God grow us in our ability this year to love one another deeply, to engage in ministry fervently, and to be supporting the gospel work of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ at other churches. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for our brothers and sisters of the other churches. We pray for Cornerstone Baptist and for the things that you're doing there. We pray for them in 2025 and their mission trip. We pray that you continue to care for them. We pray for East White Oak. We pray for their continued church planting works. Help them to grow as worshipers, to mature in you, to develop the next generation of leadership, and to share Christ faithfully. For Living Hope Community Church, we would ask that you would continue to help their new minister and the new ministry that's taking place there, continue to grow those new believers and help them to continue to reach their community. For Freedom Baptist Church, we continue to ask you to help them to reach the lost, to disciple and edify believers. We pray for younger leaders in their church, younger families that would continue to encourage the saints there. For Grace Church, help them as they seek to reflect on what it means to know you, to be known by others, and to make you known. We thank you for their partnership here in this region. For Crosspoint, we ask that you would continue to help them abide in you, to love one another well, to serve like your son Jesus, and to proclaim the gospel throughout the world as they tell the good news. For Grace Presbyterian, we think of the long legacy of that church and just the way in which they have produced so many leaders in the community, and just their faithfulness. And so we pray that you continue to help this new leadership there to grow in their understanding of what it looks like to do ministry as a church to exalt your name. For Christ Community, help them as they expand their ministries. Thank you for the vision that you've given that church of church planting and strengthening others. Help them as they proclaim the gospel in Gridley and beyond. For our brothers and sisters at Newcastle, we have great love for them. Help them in 2025. And Lord, this prayer that they ask for not of greater ease, but greater care and fellowship. We know that's a prayer that will bring honor and glory to you. And so we trust them and trust you to them, to work in them. For Rock Creek, thank you for the time we've had with them, even recently, and some of the relational things we've been able to do. And so we pray that you would help them to have discernment concerning your will for what 2025 looks for them as a church. Thank you for their labor in the gospel. And then, of course, for Covenant Community, we continue to thank you for allowing us to be a part of that church. We pray for them as they grow new leadership and as we see men and women and children responding to the gospel. Help us to love them well and to care for them well. And as we think about the ways in which we are humbled as we see your work, we think about the things we see Covenant doing and how even a church that we've planted, we can look at them and see the way that you're working there and learn things about how you would have us think about you and think about the gospel and reaching new people. We pray for your saints here. We pray as we conclude the book of Philippians that we would be able to look at those around us and have a deep love for those with whom we do gospel partnership. Help us to be faithful to proclaim the gospel. Help us to be faithful to sacrificially love one another well. We pray that you would send out from our church those who would work to strengthen and plant new local churches in our community, in our country, and to the remotest parts of the earth. We pray this for the glory not of this group of believers. We pray this for the glory of your name. We pray this on the basis of the work of your Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.